Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to the grab bag coming up about 20 minutes from now. Stay tuned for it. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. They'll keep talking Patriots and Jaguars, I'd imagine, all day long here on WEEI. We've talked a lot of Pats and Jags, a lot of Patriots in general today and this week. I want to get to the Celtics, though, Keith. We're less than a week away from their opener.
Tuesday night?
Yeah, it's really sneaking up.
Right around the corner.
We're like a week away from their, they have another game next Friday? Is that their?
No, I think they're done. I think.
No, I didn't mean preseason. I'm sorry.
Oh.
When I was thinking of their schedule off the top of my head.
Weren't we supposed
to be out and about for a Celtics game?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Yes, good question. Great question.
Can't do that, but we'll
wound up happening for that? No, I guess I'm wrong.
They play Tuesday.
It's their opener Tuesday. Maybe that's what
New
it's
York,
supposed to be.
And then Thursday, they're at Washington.
Okay.
So they play two games next week.
But we're less than a week away from that.
That's right.
The NBA 100 came out, and I'll give you the ranks here in a moment. This is from ESPN. But Gary Washburn tweeted something that Stan Van Gundy said. Was this on a broadcast or directly to Washburn?
I think he just talked to him.
He said,
I believe,
that's probably the best NBA roster I've seen. Does that mean in his time in basketball?
Ever. I think ever.
Probably the
ever?
Best NBA roster I've seen.
He's ever seen.
Maybe he doesn't mean in the history of the league, but since he's
seen
been
a lot
in the
of the league.
Oh, yeah.
Not to age shame him, but he's seen a lot of the league. Stan has.
All five of their starters are plus defenders. Well, you know the Van Gundys love their defense. But, okay.
He's 65 years young. So
probably
he's probably
the best NBA roster I've seen in his 65 years on this planet. And I'll tell you, Keith, the top 100.
Is it the best Celtics roster of all time? Because, like, wouldn't you immediately go to, like, 86 Celtics?
Okay, of all time, I don't know. But let's say I wasn't watching the 86 Celtics. I've seen highlights, I've watched games, NBA TV, I've seen them. But, like, I wasn't watching it. So, like, in our lifetimes, I think it is. It's better than 08, right? It's better than 08.
This team is better than 08.
Yeah, and the roster's more talented.
And you know me. I mean, Paul Pierce aficionado. But, yeah, no, this team's better than... Then 08, because there was always that debate the previous couple of years where I was like, I'd still take 08, still take 08. Then last year when they broke through, they added Porzingis and Holiday. I'm like, nah, it's a better team.
They're better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe a more talented number one, maybe.
Because at this point, Garnett was awesome, but Garnett was a few years removed from being an MVP. But he was first team All-NBA that year.
I think he was second or third in the MVP vote, so maybe that's not even accurate to say.
Yeah. They had two All-NBA guys. This is two All-NBA guys. They had a third All-Star, and then eventually, you know, Rondo became an All-Star. This team has multiple All-Stars.
Well, and they have, you know, All-Stars, former All-Stars, just littered all over the roster.
Yeah, yeah.
All defensive players.
Yeah.
And so, to me, this is more talented, the most talented Celtics roster of my lifetime. I wasn't watching the 86 Celtics.
Is it better than the 96 Bulls or the most recent Warriors team with Durant?
I would say
that team might be more top heavy.
Yes, no. Is it a more talented roster than the 96 Bulls? Definitely. It's not Jordan. They don't have anybody as good as Jordan. But is it
Jordan,
a more,
Pippen, Rodman? So you got three Hall of Famers right off the rip.
And then you have like Luke Longley. And
oh, you ever
Tony
heard of
Kukoc,
Tony Kukoc?
And Ron Harper.
Nice.
I liked Ron Harper.
Ron Harper, nice player.
Okay, but this is a better roster.
They had Dickie Simpkins.
They definitely had Dickie Simpkins. Yeah. Trust me. I went to the Dickie Simpkins
Steve
basketball
Kerr
camp.
Steve Kerr has a couple big shots.
He brought the rings. Yeah, this is a better roster than the 96 Bulls. Is it better than the Warriors? It might not be.
I mean, you had the Splash Brothers and Durant and Draymond. So those guys are
That one's probably better.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Van Gundy got away from him a little bit to say it's the best roster he's ever seen. I would argue for that Warriors roster, but short of that, and they won 73 games. So and they,
no,
they
that team didn't win 73 games. The
I'm sorry,
Durant
right.
team came. He
no, no,
came
right.
after and won two titles.
You're right.
They won 73 without Durant,
that's
which
a good
is crazy.
Point. So those Warriors in there won a bunch of titles in 73 games, but that specific roster, you're right, did not. I would argue that's probably the most talented. The Celtics could get there. Fine. Here's how they did in the NBA 100, which has been coming out over the course of the week at ESPN. I believe they just released their top 10 today. Checking in at 96,
yes,
Al Horford.
96? So old man Al cracking the top 100.
I mean, if you want to tell me he's in the back end of the top 100, fine. I'm not going to sit here and rank 100 NBA players. That feels feels
Why
a touch
not?
High for a guy who, you know, doesn't start. But whatever, I'm not going to kick and scream about it. Al Horford, when he has to start, is really good, and he effectively was a starter in the playoffs on that team last year.
If you think about it, there's, what, 150 starters in the league, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of bad teams.
There are.
So if you are on the best team, and you're the sixth man on the best team, I think it makes sense.
Okay, don't you think he benefits from the team that he's on, too?
Oh, 100%.
Like, if he was the best player on some team, that team would be awful.
Unlikely, but, he's good enough to be on the list.
Horford at 96, getting his respect on a title team, I have no problem with it. Kristaps Porzingis, 46.
Okay.
Derek White, 39.
Which is funny, because last year, this list, people talked about it only because Derek White wasn't on the list.
Future Lakers head coach J.J. Redick had a conniption.
He lost his mind.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you not put Derek White in the top 100 or top 50 or whatever it was? He was all angry and
then people would tweet about it all year long.
Yeah.
Like, Derek White would make a great play and be like, and he's not one of the 100 best players in the league. You're like, all right, well, they missed it.
So now they,
they missed it.
They screwed up.
But, I mean, they.
I mean, look, I didn't like the trade when they made it. What do I know?
But they readjusted and they at least took what he did last year, where he was great. He's one of the best defensive guards in the league. He could score enough, right? Like, he doesn't need to on this team, but he could score a little bit. So 39 seems about right. Like, being it was kind of funny that he was on the Olympic team, like, over Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is he, you don't look at him and you're like, that's a dream team player.
I mean,
but,
based on this, Jaylen Brown, to jump ahead, Jrue Holiday is 36. Jaylen Brown is 14. Jaylen Brown off the team. They're all American. Jaylen Brown off the team, 36 and 39 made it. Over him, not to scratch that itch again, but yeah.
I say we would dig into this a little bit more. I think 39 is probably fair.
Should White be higher than Holiday?
No, I kind of like Holiday more.
Okay, so
I think it's fair that they're very closely ranked, but I like Holiday a little bit more.
Who's a better player, 1 through 82? White. Who's a better player in the postseason? Holiday. And so I actually think that I think they got this right.
Yep.
I think they got this right.
Holiday, to me, though, is also one where we've seen him on other teams, and you know he's got more in him, and he kind of sacrifices all of his offense, like, on this team, because he looks around, he's like, I don't really need it. Whereas, like, if Derek White was on a lesser team, what's the most he's averaging points per game? Like, I think Jrue Holiday's a better offensive player than White.
15?
Yeah, that's probably what he is anywhere. So he's a perfect fit on this team, don't get me wrong, but I like Holiday slightly more.
Tatum is 5. You want the names ahead of Tatum.
Let me guess.
Yep.
Luka, some order.
Luka is 2.
Luka, Jokic.
Jokic is 1.
Giannis.
Giannis is 3.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So it's basically the all-NBA team.
SGA is 4.
Yeah.
That means Tatum is ahead of Steph Curry at 6. LeBron at 7.
Thank God. If he wasn't ahead of LeBron at this point.
Should LeBron be in the top 10?
No.
No?
LeBron James.
No.
Okay.
No.
LeBron James.
No, he should not be in the top 10 anymore.
Your guy Embiid is 8.
He's not my guy.
Durant is 9. Durant should not be in the top 10 anymore.
That seems a little high. The old guys are holding on to it. But didn't last year just feel like a passing of the torch? They're not washed. They're still good. Curry, Durant, and LeBron. Mm-hmm. I think their time has passed. I think it is now the time.
Well, I didn't ask you this because I thought he clearly belongs in the top 10. Is Curry in the top 10 anymore? You're saying no?
Maybe like 10th.
Okay, fine. Curry should be in the top
10. Curry, I think, can still do it. Like, his team is worse than the other teams are.
Is Curry maybe a touch high still, at 6? Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, he was so good in the Olympic team, too.
Anthony Edwards is 10. Would you take Anthony Edwards over Durant?
Yeah.
Me too. Would you take Anthony Edwards over LeBron?
Yeah.
Me too. Would you take Anthony Edwards over Curry? That's closer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would.
I'm not sure I would, but whatever. For the benefit of the doubt, fine. Yeah. So Edwards should be higher.
Would you take Tatum or Edwards?
I would take Tatum.
I'd take Tatum as well.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what's crazy? Is this crazy? I'd take Tatum over Giannis.
I don't think that's crazy.
Okay. I'm just soured on Giannis.
I'd definitely take him over Embiid.
So, oh my God, yeah.
Okay, so let's play out the games. Is Jaylen properly rated at 14? I just gave you the top 10. Hang on.
Yep.
The names ahead of Jaylen. Wembanyama at 11. Wembanyama has a real case to be top 10. I know that's aggressive, but Wembanyama has a real case to be top 10.
Yeah, people might have missed some of those. The Spurs were so bad. Like, the Spurs were just a mess, but Wembanyama is nasty. Like, he has lived up to the hype. He just did it on a bad team, so maybe he didn't pay attention.
Jalen Brunson at 12. Would you take Jalen Brunson or Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I think Brunson.
Me too.
Brunson's nasty.
Davis at 13. Anthony Davis.
I'd take Jaylen Brown over Anthony Davis.
Okay.
I am not an Anthony Davis guy.
So bump up Jaylen Brown to 13 on this list. Okay. I didn't ask you. Wemby or Jalen?
Probably Wemby.
Wemby, for sure.
Yeah.
Would you take Booker or Jaylen Brown? Booker's one spot back.
I like Booker more.
Me too.
I like Booker
so
more.
So let's say even if you think they got the Davis thing wrong and the Booker thing wrong, Jaylen's still at 14.
But don't you think Brown and Durant are a lot closer than they should be? That sounds like crazy like years ago, but don't you think now?
I would put Jaylen ahead of Durant. And that's coming from a guy who for years was like, I would trade Jaylen for Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, number one, they're all older. And number two, I was wrong.
So I don't think he's a top 10 player, but I think he's pretty close. Talking about Jaylen Brown.
I think 14 is about right.
Yeah.
And I think five is about right for Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah, because those guys above him are insane, although I would take
we
him
both
over
said
Giannis.
Giannis, yeah.
So maybe four.
But there's a lot of people who take Edwards over Tatum.
Yeah.
And so I think five
but
is
they're
about
wrong.
Okay, but if you're crying yeah, over one spot, that means they basically got it
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Like
they
he should be four
job
instead of five, fine. They basically got it right. Jaylen should be 13 instead of 14. They basically got it right.
But also their starting lineup is all in the top 46.
Yeah, correct.
That's pretty serious.
I mean, another way to put it, just to easy to remember, all of their starters are in the top 50.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And then you have another guy in the top 100 that comes off the bench. Like, that is a pretty well-assembled team. So, like, to do that same exercise, I just think a team like the Warriors, when they had Curry and Durant, those are two guys that won MVPs. Mm-hmm. But if you did that same exercise, I'm trying to think who their other guys were. Like, Zaza Pachulia? Like, he wouldn't have been a top 50 player.
No,
you know what I mean?
So, Iguodala was good. Iguodala was really good.
But if you averaged out where they all ranked in a given year, mm-hmm, that's probably pretty close.
No, it probably was.
Yeah.
So, I think Van Gundy's getting a little carried away when he says, best team I've seen assembled.
He's excited.
I'd take that Warriors roster.
Yeah.
Did you answer? Would you take the 96 Bulls roster or the Celtics?
I would take the Celtics roster.
The roster.
Yeah, Jordan's like, again, better than everybody.
You line them up and they got to play Michael Jordan. I wouldn't feel great about it.
But
that's because of Jordan, not the roster.
I would say Pippen's probably the third best player out of both sides. But then it's probably like Celtics. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of C's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect Luke Longley.
Dude, Luke Longley, you could play a little bit. Hit that little corner, too.
My guy, Dickie Simpkins.
He kind of sucked.
Yeah.
No offense to the Providence fans.
How dare you?
Not great.
Speaking of Rhode Island, Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Keith, I've been listening to you a while. I know you hate LeBron James.
Yep.
And this year with his son and J.J. Redick, I think it's going to be an absolute disaster for him. So.
Agreed.
But as it pertains to the Celtics, I think about it, I still get annoyed that they didn't win back-to-back in 08. But this year, Holiday said this was one of the toughest training camps that he's been part of since he's been in the league. And I think they got a lot to play for. I think they're going to blow out a lot of teams. And, you know, if they can just stay engaged, I think – they went back to back here and open up against the Knicks, so that should be fun.
Okay,
that should be fun. It's a great matchup to start.
It's a great. I think it's the two best teams in the East. If you're asking me, I know you like Cleveland.
I do.
A lot of people like Philly. I don't. I think it's the two best teams in the East, and you know you got the Boston New York thing, which is self evident.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need to win back to back?
Yeah.
You know, like to cement themselves as an all time great team. Like they're champions forever. You can't take it away from them.
Right.
But to cement themselves as an all time great team, or to have, you know, the plaudits they're getting from Stan Van Gundy that they're one of the greatest rosters ever assembled, you better win two in a row.
You got to win two in a row. I mean, that is such an easy distinction between the one-off teams. And in the NBA, more than any of the other four sports, it is almost expected to win two in a row. Right? It doesn't happen that often anywhere else. But in the NBA, all the great teams that we talk about, it's the run that they went on. How many? They went two in a row, or did they win three in a row? Did they win 6 in 8 years? Did they win 4 in 6 years? That kind of thing. You know, it's funny. The Spurs never won back-to-back, but they were always in it, and they won multiple times.
Yeah,
what did Duncan get? Five?
They're like the exception. I think Duncan finished with five, yeah.
But like that to me still counts. Like, it's still the coach and the best player,
no, it counts.
And they won a bunch.
It's just they're the exception, right? Like, they're like the one great team in it. Maybe if you want to count like the 70s Celtics when they won two out of three.
Yeah, but like all the other guys that they kind of...
You went back-to-back. You three-peat.
Yeah, the Celtics didn't either, or Bird didn't, right?
Oh, that's true.
They
Bird
never
didn't.
Went back-to-back.
That's true. The Lakers did. That's true.
Magic did. Jordan did. Kobe and Shaq did. And then Curry did.
The Bird Celtics made three in a row and won two out of three.
LeBron and Wade did. So, like, a lot of the guys that they kind of look up to in, like, the modern, like, legends, if you will, have won back-to-back.
And differentiate yourself. We're talking about them in comparison to the Warriors roster. We both take that Warriors roster when Durant is there, okay? But Golden State, and it wasn't all with Durant, but they won 3 out of 4. And they added another one later, as you know, as Celtics fans. Are the Celtics closer to the Denver Nuggets from 2023, that Warriors team that circled back in 2022, the Bucks in 2021, the Lakers in the bubble, which I know you hate.
Uh-huh. Doesn't count.
The Kawhi year in Toronto, 2019. Yeah. Like, are they closer to that, or are they closer to the Warriors. Like, this is how you prove it. You have to go out there and win again.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then also, if you want to even get into it, like, how many more years is Al Horford going to be a contributor, or even Drew Holiday going to be a contributor? Like, you have Tatum and Brown for the long haul. Porzingis, I fear, is going to be in and out of the lineup the rest of his time here. So, like, right now on paper, you have five top 50 guys and six top 100 guys. But after going into next season, what's that list going to look like? Going into the season after that? Like, yeah, you still have the two singular stud All-NBA guys, and hopefully they are a part of a long run. But you never know what the formula is going to be. They've played with a lot of different guys, right? And they didn't all work. This group seems to work, but I don't think you can't, like, sacrifice seasons. Like, you got to go for it now.
Are you worried at all about what the caller said earlier? It was John in Rhode Island. Are you worried at all about Mazzulla's going to drive him too hard? Does that concern you?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't with me either. I'm with you, but I would understand someone who says they played a lot of games.
Yeah.
Three guys were on the Olympic team.
One of them didn't really play.
No. Fair point. The other one's still crying about not being on that team.
Yeah.
But they played a lot of games last year. They had the Olympics on top of it. They're clearly the best team in the NBA on talent. And so, do you need to drive them that hard that quickly, or are you going to wear them out? I understand that. I don't subscribe to that. I don't buy into that. But I at least understand people looking at it that way and saying, hey, Joe, you should take your foot off the accelerator instead of hammering it down.
Yeah, no, I don't really have that fear. Like, Al Horford's not going to play in back-to-backs anyway. It'll be interesting to see what kind of minutes someone like Drew Holiday ends up getting. And, no, I think, honestly, like, they're so good that you're going to see games this year where it's a Peyton Pritchard night like it was last year, a Sam Hauser night. You know, they're adding other guys like the rookie they got this year. Like, I think there's going to be opportunities for other guys where they're still winning. And you know, Mazzulla can coach them hard and all that stuff. But I don't think I'd be surprised if those guys all led the league in minutes or anything like that.
No, so that would concern me more than just. I mean, Mazzulla should have his foot down in the Excel. You want to repeat.
Be motivated all year.
Thank you. So that's how I come at it. I understand the opposing viewpoint, but I don't subscribe to it. Kelly's in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
What's up, guys? Yeah, so I feel pretty good about the C's, Tatum and Brown bringing home Banner 19. I don't know if it's going to be this year. We're on such a hot streak of nobody repeating. I don't feel really confident that streak's about to end, but I will tell you this, to your question about to be an all-time great team, do they have to go back-to-back? Yeah, that's one thing. They also have to win at least three. You look at, like, the Rockets in the 90s. They went back-to-back, but nobody considers them an all-time great team.
But that's not why. It's not because they went back-to-back.
Jordan
wasn't there.
They didn't have to play Jordan. So that one's asterisk.
Look, if they go back and they win two out of three, then we can have that debate then. But in the meantime, we're focused on this year. Yeah, they need to go out and win this year to cement the legacy.
But the non-back-to-back thing, I think, is more easily explained away. Like, I think it's the LeBron bubble team, which wouldn't have won had they played 82 games, nor like true road games.
Kawhi's a one-off.
Kawhi in Toronto.
Yep.
There's also the end. There's also that Warriors team that was sort of towards the end, and they beat the Celtics. Yeah, it was that one last go. They'd already won before. Curry and Clay had already won multiple titles.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of a one-off, and the Celtics weren't ready yet. So they got to the finals and lost that
one. Giannis got his one.
I think Giannis might be the one that surprised me the most is Denver.
Agreed.
I thought Jokic was going to at least get back. He didn't even get back to the thing. Giannis, I think maybe it speaks more to who Giannis is, and maybe all the questions you had about it before the title. Actually, I'm probably kind of still there. They just happened to put it together that one year.
I think Giannis has told you. He won and he was happy.
And he's done now.
And he's
Jokic surprised me a little bit, but everybody else, I feel like it's more easily explainable.
But just FYI, Giannis is a great example for that. You win and you're happy with it, and you're just that drive. I think the drive is kind of gone with Giannis.
That's why I love the nonsense with the Olympic team. Tatum not playing and Brown not being on it. I think they're going to be pissed all year, and like that's going to like weigh on them.
I hope. I mean, I can see it going that way. I can also see it going, I'm out for mine because I've won, and now I'm going to prove a point.
Well, there's a fine line there because like, I also think it's motivating that Tatum wasn't the finals MVP. And you're like, well, hopefully that doesn't get in the way. Now, it didn't get in the way with Curry. Curry was not finals MVP until the fourth go-around, and it's not like he sabotaged the second or the third title team, right? Like, he still played the best he could.
Yeah.
He just had Durant on the team, and he didn't win it. But, I think all those guys have a little bit of motivating factor, which is good. Plus, right now, there's not another team I could make a strong argument for to beat them in a series.
No.
There are good teams, but, like, nobody on their level.
The one you hear the most is OKC, which,
no.
Please.
No, I don't think so.
Please. 617-779-7937. More your phone calls coming up. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending, and then It's time for Grab Bag.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI, all the stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program. And Jones, let us start with the Major League Baseball playoffs. That's right, you got 2 games going on here today. Last night, Dodgers shut out the Mets 8-0, so LA is up 2-1 in that series. So game three tonight, ALCS, Yankees and Guardians, with New York up 2-0. And then at 8:08, you'll have Dodgers-Mets game four, with the Mets trying to even it at 2.
Yeah, no, you hear everywhere you go in the city of Boston these days, people are like, "Oh, the Yankees! Ah, yeah. I'm rooting against them."
Let's
the passion.
Baseball.
Yeah, Ohtani homered last night. I did shortchange Walker Buehler when we were talking about the game yesterday. I just shortchanged his big game history and big game pedigree.
Yep, big gamer.
And so he stepped up against the Mets. They'll try to even the series. My guess is Yankees and Guardians already done.
Yeah, Yankees will send Clark Schmidt to the mound opposite, who's this guy, Boyd?
Matthew Boyd.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd.
Oh, not the NFL wide receiver, Tyler Boyd.
No. Okay. Yamamoto going for the Dodgers tonight versus Quintana for the Mets.
Grab bag.
Big Thursday night football game tonight, Jones. Two rookie quarterbacks are going head to head. You have the Denver Broncos, led by Bo Leave Nix, and Spencer Rattler of the Saints. It is the return of Sean Payton, maybe the most significant item here. Denver is favored by 3. On the road.
I don't love a road favorite in general.
I don't like him in general.
I don't love a road favorite on a short week in particular.
No. Home dog.
But you got the Peyton. You got the Peyton aspect. I can't imagine betting Spencer Rattler and just a mash unit of Saints out there.
Yeah,
no Olave.
Olave.
I know you know that with your fantasy squad.
Uh-huh.
No Rashid Shaheed. It's like if you watch the Saints offense, they've been in on primetime. Yeah. A handful of weeks. Oh, no Carr, by the way. So they've been in primetime. Like, it's a tough offense to watch. I was singing Kubiak's praises the first 2 weeks of the year.
Oh, Clint Kubiak was on.
Turns out that probably had something to do with playing Carolina's defense and Dallas's defense the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and less about him. I'd still take him over Van Pelt.
Right.
I normally hate the Thursday night narrative about how bad Thursday night football is. This one, I think, is going to live up to it.
I think
because we've had good Thursday night games the last 2 weeks. This is a dud.
Something's got to give.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877.
Grab bag.
Nice.
Caitlin Clark, named first team
All-WNBA.
Yeah!
Thank God!
She did it!
Yeah!
Best of the league!
She should be player of the year!
Yeah. Last rookie to do so was Candace Parker back in 2008.
Oh!
For you WNBA trivia freaks out there.
Yeah, Sheldon Williams was Mr. Candace Parker.
At one point.
Yeah.
Always an odd match to me.
Why's that?
I feel like
he had too much forehead.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, he had too much forehead for her.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, he outkicked his coverage.
He looked
there.
Like Griffey on Nerve Tonic in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yes.
Sheldon Williams was on the Celtics for a cup of coffee. Remember that?
I sure do.
Oh, yeah.
I sure do.
Random basketball player of the day. Sheldon Williams.
Curious.
It's Sheldon Williams.
And why they were together. Yeah. But what do I know?
Okay.
Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. We know there's a lot of fans out there.
So many.
Hey, they're working. My feet are soaked, but my cups are bone dry. Everything's coming up.
Grab bag.
Russell Wilson took a lot of first-team reps at practice for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Justin Fields,
I was just going to bring this up.
Basically, was like, "Yeah, I didn't play well enough."
I didn't play
almost confirmed that he is
okay.
Not
you think
starting.
He confirmed it? Or you think that's just he's a good teammate? Like that just feels like he's doing
Russell Wilson starting.
He's no. Wilson is starting. I'm not questioning it, but I'm saying, do you think Fields really feels that way? I don't.
I mean, it's the opposite attack that Jalen Polk took.
I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. No, I think Fields is being a good teammate. I think he's been fine. I think he's been pretty good, to be honest.
He hasn't, like...
I think Pittsburgh's making a mistake. I think it's the wrong decision.
You know who else thinks they're making a mistake?
Who's that?
Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
He was on some podcast.
Good guy.
He said people love him. Yep. Really good guy in the community.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't make the change. He said if he was Pittsburgh, he would keep Justin Fields in there.
Well,
maybe he hates Russell Wilson. I don't know.
I hate to say it, but I agree with him.
I agree with him, too.
I think this is the wrong move for Pittsburgh, and the problem is you go to Wilson, now you're going to go back to Justin Fields again, and you're going to ping-pong around. So that's why I think it's really an issue. You could go to Russell Wilson at any point. You do it now, I feel like it's kind of difficult to go back.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
Pittsburgh
Steelers. I'm going to say
no.
No.
I mean,
it's... It's raining.
Grab bag.
Sabrina Ionescu hit a logo three Calder shot as the New York Liberty defeated the Minnesota Lynx in game three of the WNBA Finals. You been in on that?
I mean, I saw the highlight, a little step back three. I think she went to Oregon. I'm somewhat familiar with her.
Yeah.
She went up against Curry
in the three-point shootout.
I did not watch that game, though.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious
grab bag.
How about the NHL goalie market has Jeremy Swayman to thank quite a bit. We know he signed 8 years, $66 million.
Mm-hmm.
Very important for him to get that $8.25 million a year. Linus Ullmark, after this year, a 4-year at $8.25 annually is going to kick in.
Uh-huh.
And then Jake Ottinger from the Dallas Stars.
Oh, I hadn't seen this. What'd he get?
8 years.
Okay.
Guess how much you get per year?
I bet it's more than Swayman. So,
nope.
8.5. Less.
8.25.
Same.
The exact same contract.
That's the
Swayman.
Magic number.
That's it. That's the sweet elixir out there.
Well, actually, this.
If you got a young goalie that you like, you better be prepared to offer him $8.25 million.
Who's better, Ottinger or Swayman?
Swayman.
Is he? I mean, look.
I was a homer pick. I was a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. I have to dig into it a little bit more.
I thought Ottinger was pretty well-regarded, so I feel like
they're both young guns, right? They're both like the
Ottinger
same age.
Ottinger has, he's 25. He has not made an all-star team.
Oh, he stinks. Do you want that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think Swayman's got better numbers. So, yeah, I mean, okay, fine.
Ottinger
good deal for
Ottinger.
Last year, he got lit up in the playoffs.
Did he? Okay.
Think.
Like a Christmas tree. He was fifth in the Vezina in 23, though.
Swayman was seventh last year.
Yeah. Okay. Under better? BU kid? All right. Let's get to this.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take...
Grab bag.
Oh, you want a fantasy football question? Hot off the presses?
Yeah, 37937. Throw it in the bag.
Would you cut Puka Nacua?
What?
Yeah, what kind of question is that?
Would I cut him?
Yeah.
I mean, how long is he out for?
He's supposed to come back soon, I thought.
I think week 9 is
the
target.
He's not practicing yet.
No, keep him.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what?
If you're so impatient, I guess try trading him. Cooper Kupp might be back this week.
Cooper Kupp could be back this week. Maybe that's part of the reason why you wonder what you do with Nacua. He's not going to come back before Kupp. But I would just say we invite all your fantasy football questions in the grab bag.
Yes, please.
Hey, you want to see crazy?
Now, that's a real badge. I'm a real cop, and this is a real
grab bag.
Boston College football in action tonight. In Lane Stadium, Blacksburg, Virginia, taking on the Hokies of Virginia Tech. BC 4-2 and are 7.5-point dogs tonight.
I'll tell you what, when Northeastern still had football, I did an opener. Northeastern played at Lane Stadium against Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Flew into Richmond, I want to say, and drove
was
to Blacksburg
Kevin Jones
day of the
on
game.
That team?
Ooh, I don't.
The running back?
I don't think so. No. Mm. I feel like it was kind of a down Virginia Tech team.
Was Frank Beamer the coach, though?
It was definitely still Frank Beamer.
Nice.
Yes. Now,
that'd be a memory. Were they still
his kid is the coach of South Carolina now.
Oh, that's right. Were they doing Enter Sandman back then?
They were. I think so, yeah.
Was it crazy?
It's the loudest stadium I had been in for college football, but, you know, Northeastern playing at, like, UNH. You know,
hey, UNH
playing in Orono and, you know, playing UMass and things like that. But, no, I've been there, a loud stadium. But good, BC. Funny. Honestly, I might watch more BC than Thursday Night Football tonight.
Well, I'm glad you said that because you can listen to tonight's BC game right here.
How about that?
On WEEI.
Synergy.
7:30 with the kickoff.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab, grab, bag, 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 grab, grab, bag.
All right, your horror movie of the day brought to you by the hashtag Dork Podcast. We're going with one of the scariest movies I've seen in maybe ever, let alone recent memory. It is currently streaming for free on both Tubi and Amazon Prime.
Nice.
But everybody's got Tubi.
Yeah.
All you do is download Tubi. It's free.
Most people have Prime.
Most people have Prime.
Yeah.
Everybody has Tubi. It's Hell House LLC. It has become a franchise. I have not watched all the sequels. Have I done this one already? No.
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Hell House. Okay, good. I was like, wait a minute. This sounds like I'm repeating myself. Hell House LLC. It is a found footage movie.
Oh, one of those.
But it's not like, it doesn't make you sick. It's not like throwing the camera all around. But it's these people that go around and they find places to put on these haunted houses. And then there might be a little bit more haunted than you might think.
Oh.
But it's actually legit scary. This one like stuck with me for a little while. It came out a few years ago. I just saw it like last year. But it's good. Hell House LLC.
We attempted to take the kids over to Haunt Fest over in Charlestown at Hood Park.
How'd that go?
Well, they kind of marketed it as, you know, kids as young as mine at age six.
Too scary?
We wondered. It opened a little later than we realized.
Oh, boy.
But it seems
the
like...
The witching hour?
I'll tell you this. There's a lot of foot traffic over it that
okay.
day. Like a lot, like more than I would have expected.
Too much?
So if you're a horror fan? No, I mean, if you're a horror fan, I don't know that you want to be bringing the six-year-old. It might be a little old.
Mm.
But if you're a horror fan, the Haunt Fest seems like a good take. How about that?
You guys into spooky houses? Nick, Billy, you guys go to a spooky house?
I've been to one in a while.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, Billy's in. Yeah.
Love him.
It's not really. I'd rather watch a horror movie than go to a thing. My wife's like the opposite.
When we were in high school, we had to put on like a haunted house.
You just scream at people, right?
I feel like it wasn't.
What'd you dress
if
as?
If I had to think back, I bet it wasn't actually very scary. Himself. But yeah, I just this hoodie.
That was the last one I went to. It was definitely put on
like
by
high school
a
kids.
High school drama
yeah,
class.
Like,
and me and my wife walked through. This is years ago. Just walked through it, and you just like walk through, and it's like nobody like there's nobody in this room, and then it's like one kid going, "Wah!" And you're like, "For God's sakes, guy! Like please!" That's all it was. Just screaming in your ear, and you're like, "I got it." I got it.
You should just go through one that's
nothing
just,
scary. It's fake cobwebs and then kids screaming in your ear.
You should just go through one where it's just high school. Nothing happens. It's just high school again. You're just like, somebody jam me in a locker. What, a math exam?
What is this?
Barrett's in Abington's pretty awesome.
What is it?
Is it?
Barrett's.
Oh.
Place in Abington right on. I think it's 18.
Okay.
All right. So it's like you buy one ticket, they get you two houses.
Oh, look at that. Dubs 98.5 in the chat said the exact same thing as you.
What?
He said Barrett's.
Barrett's in Abington.
Oh, said Barrett's. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's nice because there's like Barrett's Haunted Mansion, and then there is the Hell House next door.
Huh. Oh, that's pretty good. My
Twitch chat is saying you did Hell House already. I don't think you did. You did do a found footage one, though.
Yeah.
We were talking about Cloverfield when that happened. You haven't done this one.
Oh,
yet,
no.
I don't think you did it either, but you did do
I need to write
footage.
These down. The hell? I mean, I talked about it on
17 days in. Already messed it up.
Dork podcast. You're just repeating the same one.
Yeah.
Guys, go see Halloween. Halloween, 1978.
Psycho. Halloween.
My one
daughter. Don't do Psycho. Don't do Psycho again.
My daughter does love just going to Spirit Halloween. So the five-year-old loves all this spooky stuff. Nothing spooky enough for her. Then the two-year-old, it's like any little thing. She's like, that's scary.
Yeah.
She's like, scary? That one's scary. I'm like, it's not scary. It's a pumpkin. She's like, scary?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't trust any of it. I'm like, all right. There.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips. Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, Billy set the record yesterday for the quickest random baseball player guest. It was JT Snow. I really didn't even start giving clues.
No.
And he got JT Snow right off the rip. So we're going a little bit tougher this time. We're going to go with a ball player who broke into the majors in 1990.
Okay.
His official rookie year was 1991. He hung it up after the 2003 season, played for several teams, most notably the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh.
7 years with the Pirates.
Bobby Bonilla.
No. Played with Houston for 3 years.
Okay.
And then had a cup of coffee with Minnesota, Montreal, Toronto, the Cubs, and the Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
Although he only played 9 games for the Red Sox, so maybe not a great clue.
So don't really disregard that
one.
What
was the first season?
1990. Yeah, 90 or 91.
Give me the teams again.
Pirates. I remember him as a Pirate.
Yeah.
Pirate,
Doug
Astro.
Drabeck.
Nope.
Jay Bell.
Nope. Primarily a split time between right field and first base.
Oh.
So first base, right fielder.
It's not Sid Bream because I didn't hear the Braves there.
Not Sid Bream. Well, probably a teammate. Overlapped with Bream.
Probably overlapped with Bream.
Yeah, he was in Pittsburgh from 90 to 96. So he was on those
you're telling me it's not Jay Bell.
He was on those Barry Bonds teams, and it's not Jay Bell. It's not Doug Drabeck. But he played with those guys. His career high in dingers?
Yeah.
17.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
1996, height of the steroid. No, that was a bit later.
Andy Van Slyke.
No.
Damn.
You said he was with the Red Sox?
Yes.
What year?
98 for 9 games.
Yeah.
How do you play that right field?
Did he play some first base?
He played some first base for the Red Sox?
He played
9 games. 98.
Never won a gold glove, never was an all-star, but man, do I remember him. He made $13.8 million in his career.
Wow.
Which I think we should know who he is then. He was a switch hitter.
Okay.
And obviously he threw right-handed he threw right-handed.
He threw right-handed, okay.
But he was a switch hitter.
Okay,
he was runner-up in 1991 in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Let me give you some...
He lost to Jeff Bagwell.
Let me give you some text line guesses. People are guessing Jason Bay. That's not right.
Was it Derek Bell?
I was thinking Derek Bell. Was it Derek Bell?
It's not Derek Bell. Let me tell you right now, there is... One person does have it.
They do?
Yep.
Orlando Merced?
Correct.
I never would have got that. Wow, text line, good job.
Merced.
37937, good job. Oh, look who got in the Twitch chat.
Orlando Merced, somebody get it?
Yeah, not only someone.
Oh, Ken Laird, WEEI.
Ken Laird, wow.
Wait a minute. He's a pit guy. He's a Pirates guy.
Yep.
There you go.
Now it's all right, Ken. Together.
All right, fine. Good job, Ken.
There you go. That'll do it for another successful edition.
Everyone's talking about Grab Bag.
Agreed.
Do you think Ken was in the Twitch chat and texted?
Yes.
He texted all of our phones too.
It's not Dick Pohl. We now know it's Orlando Merced. Okay, good.
Jeff King, Shoeless Joe. There's one guy that guesses Shoeless
every
Joe
day.
Every day.
He actually texted early in the show and he said, should I send Shoeless Joe now or should I do it during Grab Bag?
I like it.
Well, of course you do it during Grab Bag.
Yeah, I do. Now's the time.
Also, many people said they thought we cut to commercial in the middle of Grab Bag, and it turns out, no, those are just Grab Bag drops.
Listen, people are sending me Grab Bag stingers, including one Nick Fitzy Stevens. People were very upset with one of them, but that's all right.
All right, that's the Grab Bag each and every day at this time. Let's check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what Arcan and Hart have coming up on Pat's Jaguar.
Grab Bag!
You got Hart and Arcan, WEEI Afternoons, coming your way at 2 o'clock. Who came up with that? Was that just a Nick thing, or was that a request on your end?
This? No, yeah. That's all Nick, I believe.
I don't just mean for today. I mean like when you would do that.
I started using it one day.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, spinning the ones and twos.
How about that?
Not bad.
Very topical. The crossover, each and every day. Here on Jones and Keefe is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You visit the Nines for the new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. 4 new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. We were just talking off the air about your interview yesterday with Giardi. He's not sold it. Alex Van Pelt is coming back.
No, in fact, he seems like he's percentage-wise leaning the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily disagree with him. I was just a little surprised that he put that percentage there. So we're 6 games into his tenure. That's quick.
No, it is quick. But I was trying to think, and I can dig into this. I'll do a little research.
Okay, good.
This.
Good.
How many teams have been, you know, 0, 1, or 2 wins? Have the quarterback, head coach, and offensive coordinator all return? Like I feel like you can't trot it all back if you're that bad, and the quarterback and the coach aren't going anywhere. So therefore, you then look at the offensive coordinator.
But if they're all already new, like that's a whole different subset or subgroup. Like that's a quick hook.
It is.
Now, I think you should have
Josh Rosen and like Bryce Young.
Sure.
Like guys have been quick.
And like a coordinator. Like if
but those were players who were bad too. Like if May is good, isn't Van Pelt going to be the guy who gets credit for that? Like he's the offensive coordinator. He's the quarterback whisperer.
It
like
depends.
I thought May was a bunch of games. If he plays well, I think he'll get credit for it.
And I thought May was good Sunday, and I thought Van Pelt sucked. So. That would be one game that I would disagree on.
So, like, yeah, how it plays out.
That's one game toward get the hell out. I also think opportunities matter. You know how they say, like, men are as loyal or faithful as their opportunities or whatever?
Okay. Is that what they say?
I've
never heard that
that's
one.
That's why I'm a faithful
you
man.
You never heard that? Oh, yeah, that's like a common thing.
That. Limited opportunity.
My wife says it all the time.
Yeah, see, I thought that was just me being a good guy. Turns out maybe there's the real answer. I'm a faithful man. Yeah.
If Brian Daboll is available, or if Kevin Stefanski, I think is an interesting one. If you're just going to run Kevin Stefanski's offense, why don't I bring in Kevin Stefanski?
The guy who runs it?
Like a guy who actually did it for you when he was coaching.
So put a percentage on it, Arcan. You sound like you think it's more likely Van Pelt's going to be back. Put a percentage on it. Giardi says 40, you say?
75% he's back.
Wow.
That's what I think. Because I think May's going to be good. I just think he'll be good, and it'll be a reflection of Van Pelt.
Okay.
I think I would say like 60% now. I'm trending in the wrong direction for his tenure. And Rich Keefe knows.
Yes.
We were on the air.
I heard you guys that
it was
night.
The worst decision the team's ever made.
I heard you that night.
Is that what I said?
Pretty close.
You were the most
critical. I remember that too, yeah.
It was like it's the worst hire possible.
Am I wrong?
No,
so far
I agreed with you.
Okay.
Well, why do you have him 65% coming back?
Yeah, I would say I'm more like in the Giardi space, 40%.
And another layer here, and I don't know that he meant coordinators, but remember when Gerard Mayo announced his staff that press conference day, he said, and, you know, I'm new at this, and there's probably going to be changes next year. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say when you're announcing the guys that you've chosen to, like, join you in this battle.
Yeah, wasn't it, like, a lot of, like, for now or whatever?
Yes.
Like, the way he talked
about it. Oh, he kept saying it multiple times. Okay. Now, I'm hoping he didn't mean the coordinator. I'm hoping he meant, like, oh, quality control guys or lower-level guys.
Right.
But I just
Bill's
don't,
kid.
Maybe. I just don't think you can rule it out. I don't think he has done a very good job, and he's used up a third of his opportunities. And as you alluded to, Arcand, I think his it's great that Drake May was so sort of supportive of him this week. But
he really was. I mean, he was effusive, I thought. And listen, they may come up to May at the end of the season and say, hey, Drake, what do you think about bringing Van Pelt back? And he can be honest with them. Mm-hmm. And they'll probably do whatever he wants. But I also think there's something to the idea of continuity at offensive coordinator, if we remember the last rookie quarterback that we had here.
Absolutely. I think the continuity is key. But I also think pulling the plug as soon as possible if you know it's the wrong guy. Who was the guy the Bruins canned that one year when it was so
Dave
obvious?
Lewis.
Dave Lewis. Yeah. It was obvious.
Like,
everyone.
Oh, goodbye.
He had to go, and it was the right move.
Right.
And my guess is when we do our final chat with Drake May to end the year, we'll be asking some Alex Van Pelt-related, do you want him back kind of question.
Okay. Long tease. How about a shorter one? What's coming up here today? You got? I know. I double-checked the day. I triple-checked the day. It's current today?
Yes. It is Thursday.
Tommy Thursday.
Nice. There's Thursday night football,
you know,
so
my
we'll
problem
talk
is,
to Tom Curran.
At the end of our – this is a me problem. At the bottom of our show grid, I already have Friday for tomorrow.
You're
Friday. Yeah, I think that's what throws me off. So you got Tom E. Curran today on a Tom E. Thursday. More insight on Drake May. Maybe he can answer the question, did he get an MRI? Did he not get an MRI?
That's a key question.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And what did the MRI say when he did get it, if he did get it?
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it's swollen, according to Dr. Chow, who's like 6,000 miles away.
I was going to say, he's not seen it in person.
How do you see that swelling? Where is it?
He's got good eyes.
Yeah, they're swelling down there. Yeah, trust me, you may not see it. They're swelling. So that's WEI Afternoons. Arcand and Hart. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Patriots Friday. We got Keith's Keys.
Oh, yeah.
We got a Friday four-pack.
Jeremy Springer, special teams coordinator.
Oh, yeah, him too.
Yep. Ooh.
And, well, of course, we'll be looking ahead to Pat's Jaguars. That's all tomorrow here on Jones and Keith.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.